As we look at the chaos swirling around humanity right now, it's difficult not to long for strong moral leadership, something that often seems in very short supply now. In truth, that's something that'll almost never be as clear in the moment as it is in retrospect. Still, a powerful series of documentaries celebrating some of the leading prophetic voices of recent history can serve a helpful guide. That's why I am so delighted to welcome the award-winning documentary filmmaker of prophetic voices, Martin Doblmeyer, to State of Belief Radio. Martin, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Wilton. I've been a fan of the show, and it's an honor to be with you.
Thank you so much. The word prophetic gets used a lot more than it gets defined. Could we just begin with you defining this word prophetic?
Well, I think the most important place to start is to say the misconception too often is that something is prophetic, meaning that it's imagining what's going to be happening, like reading the tea leaves in the future. And the way that we're using this is not to say that. We're saying fundamentally that being prophetic means to be able to see in the moment, not towards the future, but to see in the moment what is, in fact, to our minds, the will of God.
Yeah.
How God is calling us to behave, what is the moral path, which is not always clear. I mean, that's the biggest challenge that we all live in, is to try to understand what's the will of God and what should we be doing at this particular time. And we always have available to us, in the faith traditions especially, a wealth of people who can help us to some degree unpack the way that we are called to behave. It doesn't necessarily mean their situation and ours are identical, but often, because human behavior rarely changes, it's often the case that people who confronted those issues in the past, moral issues, injustice issues, they sort of shed some light on how we should behave in the current moment. And that's what we think of them in terms of being prophetic voices.
This word may be alienating to people outside of specific religious traditions. How do we make this idea accessible to everybody?
Well, I think the easiest way, for us at least, I can only speak from my own perspective, is we've been making documentary films for the last 35 plus years on subjects of religion, faith, and spirituality. And the basic centerpiece for everything that we do is something that we call narrative theology. And the basic idea is that we think that we can explore and unpack profound theological ideas, but do it through human story, do it through human drama. So to profile someone like an Abraham Joshua Heschel or a Dorothy Day, as we've done as part of this series, so it sends you down a path to understand who they were, the dramatic settings that they lived in, but then because we unpack some of the theological underpinnings for their lives, I think open up for people the opportunity for them to explore in their own life what are meaningful decisions that they have to make. Where are injustices, and what should I do in the face of injustice? So for me, this is a form of narrative theology that we get a chance to bring to a public television audience, a wide Main Street audience, and that's the fun of it.
Well, let's have you profile these people in these films.
Well, the current collection, it's a special collection, Welton, of five independent PBS-styled documentary films about five remarkable characters from the 20th century. And to my mind, the 20th century was the century where I think the best and the worst of humanity came across for everyone. We saw it in its best forms in terms of scientific progress, medical progress, but also in its worst forms, larger outbursts of anti-Semitic behavior and world wars that we can never forget. Yeah. So these were five figures that, to my mind, really were seminal figures in their day and can't be lost to us in ours. Abraham Joshua Heschel, the great Jewish mystic and writer, theologian, Dorothy Day, the Catholic social activist from New York City, New York. Howard Thurman, who was himself a mystic, but really the theological foundation for Martin Luther King Jr. and I think the entire civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. Reinhold Niebuhr, who was the great public theologian of the 20th century. And before the first film that we had done in the series really was on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian who came to America and made this decision, the fateful decision, that he would return to Germany at just before the beginning of World War II, and as a theologian and hopeful pastor, joined the resistance movement in the plots to kill Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm. All five of these characters, so Bonhoeffer, Niebuhr, Howard Thurman, Dorothy Day, Abraham Heschel, brilliant writers. It's their writings that stay with us and will continue to stay with us, I think, for decades and decades to come. Yeah. That's how we know most of them. But when you start to unpack the story of their lives and the dramatic moments in their lives, the historic times that they live in, you realize that all five of them had in common one thing, an endless search for God, the meaning for God in their life, and what that actually propelled them to do with that insight in terms of social and political change that was required. All five of them, I think, knew that the easiest choice would be indifference, to do nothing, to sort of believe in your faith and to sort of have that between you and your God and then do nothing about the social and political realities that were so blatantly present before you. But all five of these people decided, no, my faith commitment tells me I need to do something about this. I can identify this and I feel as though God's calling me to do something about it. And what's really interesting to me is that I think in the case of all five of them, that their life path wasn't necessarily sure and prescribed or predetermined for them. They had to discover it themselves. You take someone like Dorothy Day, who I think is really one of the most fascinating religious figures of the 20th century, and maybe one of the most fascinating American figures of the 20th century, well beyond the sort of the religion constraints. And she took a while to find herself. She experimented with writing and the bohemian lifestyle. She was, I think, frankly, she was the classic example. I was once was lost, but now am found. Yeah. And it took until she was about 33, 34 years old that she actually found an anchor, something that she actually could believe in. And then from there, everything began to sort of unravel for her in terms of what she felt as though God was calling her to do. And from that point, Welton, she committed the next 50 years of her life to live in service, what she felt as though was God's service to others and the most needy. She built these extraordinary houses all across the country and now the world for people who were desperate. She was feeding the hungry in 1933 when America, after the Depression, in the center of the Depression, was desperate to create some kind of social relief for people. She didn't see it happening, and she decided on her own she was going to do something about it. Imagine a woman in 1933 on her own beginning this kind of a project, and then over the next decades, it just continues to grow. They were poor in every city in America, and so slowly but surely, the Catholic worker movement began to expand all throughout the United States and now even beyond that. So these all were people who tried to answer the bell, yeah, tried to answer what God was calling them to do, and really did it in remarkable ways.
I wondered what they had in common for you.
At the center of all of it is a common love and concern for how God was acting in their lives. That's the starting place for all of it. As I said before, all five of them were just terrific writers, mm-hmm, just really gifted writers, many of them writing in multiple languages. Yeah. Abraham Heschel is writing brilliantly in four languages. It's just remarkable. And Bonhoeffer the same. He wrote in English and in German. These were people who were brilliant writers, and also two people who didn't have power. I think that's right. Really one of the things that's interesting for me is in the traditional sense, these people did not have power. They did not have wealth, individual wealth. They did not have positions of government power. Positions of government power. But what they had in abundance was a sense of authority, moral authority. Mm-hmm. And that's why people turned to them and wanted to know what they thought about the particular political and social issues of the day. And that's one, I think, of the big differences between their times and ours. In the 1940s and 50s and 60s, the mainstream media was turning to people like Reinhold Niebuhr, Abraham Heschel, Dorothy Day, Howard Thurman, asking them, well, what do you think about the concerns that we have around the war in Vietnam, around nuclear escalation, the tension between the United States and what was then the Soviet Union. How do you think about this? How should we think about this from a moral perspective? We don't really ask those kind of questions anymore. We don't look and turn to the moral voices in our culture. We look for the political voices, the economic voices, but we sort of have lost the interest and the appetite to bring a moral perspective to the issues that we're confronting today. And I think that's what these people were asked to do. That's why they became famous people during their own particular time. And I think a model for how we have to rethink about who we turn to confront the issues of our day.
Hmm. You know, so much has changed in our world in just the past few years. I have to ask you, whom would you most want to add to this collection from the current day?
Oh, that's a really good question. William Barber is one of the first names that comes to mind.
Yeah.
His Moral Mondays and his commitment to being modeling himself under the model of Dorothy Day and Howard Thurman, and I think also to Abraham Joshua Heschel. This is a man who has read his theology, understands his theological underpinnings, his foundations. I think Cornel West is another important voice in the 21st
Absolutely.
Century that I don't think gets enough airtime. I invited him to be part of the Reinhold Niebuhr film and the Abraham Heschel film. He's brilliant. I feel honored to call him friend. And every time I've sat down with Cornel West, I feel as though I learned a lot.
Oh my!
And so he's somebody that I keep on my radar on a regular basis. And I think of myself as an advocate of Cornel West. So there are plenty of people out there, Wilton, that are available to us to bring a moral perspective. The problem is, I think the mainstream media doesn't quite know what to do with them.
Well, there's always a risk to raising up pivotal figures because it can discourage quote-unquote ordinary persons from attempting extraordinary acts when the times call for that. You do a great job of humanizing your subjects and making their actions and decisions relatable. Was that a deliberate choice?
Well, it is, of course, because I think in some ways the fundamental message here is that, yes, these are extraordinary figures in their own way. But I think what they say to all of us is that each and every one of us, we're called to be sons of prophets and daughters of the saints. We have to understand that if we decide to live a life that we consider to be a life of faith and take us down that path of faith, that we're going to have obstacles along the way, that we're going to be days that we succeed and days that we fail. But we have models out there, people out there who went through the same exact kind of processes as we're going through right now. And I think if we're wise, we can turn to them and look at them as examples and possibilities. You know, I also want to say too, Wilton, that these were not perfect people. Their path to where they wound up was not straight.
Right.
Bonhoeffer, part of the making of the Bonhoeffer film was to say that Bonhoeffer struggled with making decisions in his life about which way he was going to go because he deeply understood the consequences for all of it.
That's right.
He did. And so, but his path was not straight. He took a while to find himself and decide what it was he was going to do. But he never failed to ask himself the fundamental question, which is, what is God calling me to do at this particular moment in time? And I think, frankly, in a social and political sense, that question's lost in our culture today. That's not the question that we're asking of many. We think of what's expedient, what's going to take care of our economic situation, where's our oil going to be coming from in the 21st century. We don't ask what God is calling us to do at this particular time in history. And I think that's exactly what they did. And I think that's why, at least I want them to be remembered.
What can we learn from the prophetic voices to inspire us in the decisions that we have to make?
Well, that's a great question. As I was doing the research and seeing some of the archival footage for the film, the last film in the series that we did on Abraham Joshua Heschel, I saw an interview that was done with him in 1972. He was being interviewed on NBC television by Carl Stern, the well-known reporter for NBC. And Carl Stern said, well, you've written these books, Dr. Heschel, on the prophets of the Old Testament. Do you consider yourself a prophet? Now, here is Heschel sitting on NBC television with a big, full white beard, big head of hair. He looks like Ezekiel come to life right there on the television set. He does. And Carl Stern asks him, are you a prophet? And he sits back in his chair and says, no. I pale at the notion of what they did, but I consider myself undertaking the task to be a descendant of the prophets, to actually put myself in line of the prophets. Understand that comes with enormous responsibility. And so I think that's one of the things that each one of these people show us, which is that we have to accept the fact that we are descendants of traditions, that we have a wealth of study that's available to us in scholarship and thinking and experiences. And if we're wise enough to draw on that, maybe we can find some pathway out of the current crisis that we created for ourselves.
Hmm. Well, tell our listeners how they can access the collection of films on Timeless Prophetic Voices, if you would.
Well, if they want to go to Amazon, you can buy the prophetic. It's called Prophetic Voices. It's a DVD series on DVD on Amazon, available on Amazon. Or come to our website, which is journeyfilms.com, JourneyFilms.com. Because what we have at journeyfilms.com is not only accessibility to the DVD, but also to get it downloaded. You can download it at Journey Films, so you can put it on your tablet or on your phone or however you want to watch it. But we also have a lot of educational material that we've spent a lot of time cultivating that helps people use the films to teach it in congregations and seminaries and schools and that's part of what we like to do, Welton. We've made these films for the national public audience, but we think that they should hopefully can be really important educational tools going forward.
Martin Doblmeyer, it's just an honor for us to have you on this show, and we hope to have you again.
Well, I'm honored to join you, and thank you. Thank you so much for what you continue to do. It's important work that you're doing, and so that's why we wanted to support it.